Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Welcome, everybody, to week 9 of CF Montreal 3 Questions. I'm Amy Walsh, and I'm joined, as usual, by Olivier Brett, who is a play-by-play and host on RDS and on the call for all of CF Montreal's games. Ollie, how are you doing?
Doing very well, but slightly stressed out at having to find my greatest Victor Wanyama impression for the next few minutes, because that was the hope we had to get a chance with Victor. Unfortunately, for reasons that remain unknown, we weren't able to chat to him, but hopefully we can make that happen over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I did a deep dive myself on spaghetti, on haggis, on Champions League, rhyming slang in Glasgow. I did it all, Ollie, so perhaps another time.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But good news to talk about. Lots to dive into for CF Montreal because they came back to town after a 6-game road trip and they won, and they did it in emphatic fashion, didn't they?
100%. And I think that was the main. Remember last week, I believe it was last week, maybe the week before, I told you about the clash that we might experience this year, where you could very well drop more points at home, but do it in a more fashionable way, have a bit more swagger about you and a bit more willingness to roll the dice, like Wilfried Nancy used to do a few years ago when it was 0-0, 2-2. He'd just go all in, send attackers in and just go for the juggler. And that's exactly what CF Montreal did from the get-go. I mean, they were aggressive in their pressing. It was nothing like the team that came out flat in DC 2 weeks before. Nothing like the team that lacked spirit in a 5-0 loss 1 week before in Seattle. You just felt that there was this sense of urgency, not only to get points for the first time in 4 games, but also to put on a show for a crowd that was absolutely incredible. It was a sellout crowd in a miserable night. I think we would have had a few Celtic or rather Glasgow weather references to find with Victor Wanyama, because it was really poor weather, but the atmosphere was absolutely cracking. And I think that did carry the team in a way.
It did. Actually, my mother-in-law, who's Glaswegian, she refers to it. I'm sure you're familiar with this too, having a dad who's Irish. When it was raining the way it was at Stade Saputo on Saturday and it was chilly, it was a type of rain where it doesn't look like it's raining a whole lot, but you go out in that rain and away from the shelter and you're soaked within minutes. And she calls it smur, smur, smur. I have a terrible Glaswegian impression, but it's something like that.
I don't know how Laurent Courtois calls it, but he's tough as nails because he only had a small jacket on him, no hat, no gloves, no nothing. And he was on the sideline without a bother on him. So chapeau, Mr. Courtois.
Yeah, chapeau. I fancied that look on the touchline.
He's, you know what? I had a chance to speak with him in Orlando during training camp at the beginning of the season. And I asked him, what's your swagger like on the sideline? Are you like a suit and tie kind of guy? Are you?
Yeah.
And he was telling me, yeah, I'm more of a hoodie kind of guy, but on match day, maybe I need to step it up. So far, I think fashion wise, he's pretty spot on.
We've seen it because he did have the high collared, the white or the buttoned up white shirt. Yep. With the black cardi.
Yeah.
And then this past week we saw kind of the checky jacket. I'm really digging it. I like it.
I agree. We should start a rating of, I don't know. Vanni Sartini is interesting. He had a bit of a vest on over his classic signature hoodies at the weekend. He looked like a guy who'd be going down some highway in the States on a Harley. I like it. Unfortunately, his team got beaten by LA, but yeah, so that's maybe there's something there for another pod, dressing up our Canadian coaches.
Yeah, maybe we'll hit that every week, but that made me think of a Simpsons thing, and we can put it maybe when we post the promo as a gift, the see my vest made from real gorilla chest. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But we could go down a rabbit hole here, but that was my first question, because I kind of put them together, even though mm-hmm. we were going to spend the bulk of the pod speaking to Victor. My first question was, did we see at home CF Montreal walk the talk? And that was a question I asked Laurent Courtois in a post-game presser, that for all the glimpses that we'd seen over the course of the road, we knew they were going to take a more pragmatic approach, because I think they couldn't show their cards fully. They had to try and get results, which they did in the front half of that road trip. But at home, I think everything was on evidence. It was that spirit. It was the quality. It was the dominance on the ball. It was the energy that they gleaned from the press. And it was the pushback. They what they didn't have in Seattle after starting rather brightly was an answer for those Rui Diaz goals. And they just were flat after and didn't seem to have any oomph to the attack or to the performance as a whole. But we saw it on evidence, saw it plainly at Stade Saputo on Saturday.
And you were also on the back end of three losses on the bounce. And I got a chance. I was on the radio speaking with Olivier Renard, sporting director, before the match on Saturday. And we were talking about getting points on the road and how balanced it would be between away and home matches. And he said, you know what? That team was just reminded that at the beginning of the season, they were told that they were back to something that was more CF Montreal-like. In 2022, they got results. They were already at 7 points, whereas they got 8 all of last year on the road. And all of a sudden, they were brought back down to earth. And you kind of got the feeling that Olivier Renard was okay with that. And he's close enough to the group to be able to get the team's pulse. And I think that's what you saw also, because what you spoke about, those glimpses, it's not a massive surprise to see how they operated. To me, it's the fact that they operated from the get. They just came out of the starting blocks and they really rattled a good FC Cincinnati team. Then they managed to see it through when Cincinnati came back. They got another goal. Cocaro was injured. Martinez comes on and he does really, really well. Ariel Lassiter comes out of nowhere, plays up top instead of wide left. He does the job. Bryce Duke has, by a country mile, his best game in a CF Montreal shirt.
Yeah.
So the fact that everything clicked, and over 90 minutes, not just 5, 10 or 15, that's the real revelation of what that team can offer, especially at home.
Yeah, and you said a couple things there about the partnerships, and that's what we'll get to for our second question. But those moments and managing those in-game ebbs and flows, I thought they did really, really well. So Kokoro mm-hmm. goes down, Martinez gets inserted, and you think this might be the lull and this might allow Cincinnati back into it. And it did for a bit, but then CF Montreal answered back. I thought that as well as Sosa did in Seattle, but then also at home to Joel Waterman's left, there was a play right before Acosta slips in Kubo for Cincinnati's mm-hmm. goal, where he could have gone up to Edwards. He could have played progressively, but instead he chose to play negative. He chose to play it back to Waterman or somebody else. I'm not remembering correctly, but he plays a negative ball, puts them into trouble. It could have been to Sirwa. And then Cincinnati kind of pins them in their own third and they can't get out. And the goal comes off of that. But then again, 3 or 4 minutes later, there's Chouinard breaking and he finds Martinez, and Martinez slips Lassiter. And speaking of emphatic, I've used that word already, but I mean, that finish was everything that kind of all of those moments together sort of galvanized the side and gave them this sort of comprehensive 90-minute performance at home.
I agree. There's one really important moment, though. It's a bit cliche. It's the first goal, but the first goal because it came before halftime. Because when Kokoro goes off injured,
yeah,
CF Montreal already had a good few really, really good chances. They could easily have been up 2-0 at that stage, and it was still nil all. When Martinez came in, my feeling was that he was going to score within the next 7 or 8 minutes because they were creating quality chances. They not just needed that killer guy in the box. But if you got to halftime and it was still nil all, then FC Cincinnati can make adjustments. They start believing and you start thinking that in front of a full house on a cold April evening, it might just not be your day. And the fact that Martinez scores just a few seconds before you go in at halftime, I think in terms of mindset, it shows that team that they need to hang on. They need to keep pushing. And that's what they did when it was 1-1. And that's how they got to 3 points.
Yeah, and we're going to get to Bryce Duke a little bit more in depth, but I loved, and speaking of moments, and I asked Ariel Lassiter about it post-game. I interviewed him at the corner, and I said, was there money on the board for a first tackle? Because that was something that Bryce Duke sort of laid down early on, set the tone, and from the guy you would think is least likely to get in really hard to one of those tackles, and he kind of provided that tone and that mindset, that mentality for the rest of the team.
You're talking about Duke?
Duke and that tackle. Yeah, yeah, really, yeah. Like within the first 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah, and what I like is that he then backed it up. It wasn't just, okay, I sent everyone the message, because I think it's obvious for Bryce Duke that his physical implication, he's not going to win challenges against, you know, the toughest guys in the league. But showing up and making it hard for the opposition, way harder than he's made it since the beginning of the year, is kind of the bottom line. Like, it's the minimum requirement for him to stay on the pitch. And I had the feeling, I was talking with a few colleagues after the match, and I really get the feeling that he either got a proper talking to, Bryce Duke, or he realized that the second Mahalaopoku, Jules-Anthony Vilsain, Dominic Yankov come back, if they're anyway half good and you keep playing like you've done since the beginning of the year, you're not on the bench. I mean, you might be third or fourth option, or maybe no option at all, according to how the game goes during the match when Courtois is thinking about changes. So it was not even close by really, really far his best performance. And you know what? It was the first time you can have a chat after a game, look at Olivier Renard and tell him, you know what? You gave Kamal Miller and $3 million for Duke and Lassiter until tonight. Those $3 million made absolutely no sense. Based on that match, now you're saying, okay, well, if that's what you could unlock, it starts being interesting. But as Laurent Courtois said after the match, this is it now. It's his reference point. We don't have to be sending off fireworks and having a party because he had that good of a game. That's what he needs to bring week in, week out. And it reminds me, just to finish on that, a conversation I had with Phil Neville at the beginning of last year. I was doing a Toronto match in...
Such a name dropper.
No, in Miami. But I remembered that conversation just last week because Neville said, we're not expecting him to be a bit part player anymore. It's not you come in and we'll be happy with whatever you give us if it's above average. He said he has to be a guy who carries the weight of a number 10. Obviously, that was before the Messis and all that. But now I realize why he was setting that challenge, because Bryce Duke, until this weekend, hadn't risen to that level. And now we saw what he's able to do. If he can repeat that week in, week out, then you've got a proper starting 11 choice to make when you're Laurent Courtois.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Well, let's spend a couple more minutes talking about that, because that was my third question. It was, can Bryce Duke, after watching him perform the way he did on Saturday, can he replicate that performance? And Grant Needham, who's on the TSN 690 crew with myself and John Still, we kind of got into it after the game because Grant saw it as a negative, that he set this bar so high that he felt it was maybe going to be an outlier and he wouldn't be able to reach it. I said, no, if you're a player who, and I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, Ollie, you'll take your own stance on it. You want to be able to set that bar so that you can do it for yourself. Not just for the ownership, not for Olivier Renard or for your coach, but to prove that you can do it. Because apparently, speaking to other guys on his team, things that Laurent Courtois have said, they see that quality in training every day. They just haven't seen it come to fruition on the pitch. So I see it for him almost being a relief that finally there it was, plain to see for everyone. And then he's going to have to hold himself to that same standard. That's what you want as a player.
Well, I think if you don't set the bar that high, you're back out of the team when other options are available, because they'll say, we can't really bank on you. It's way too hit or miss. And what you just did is created a very average season so far with an outstanding performance. That shows you that you weren't up to par at all with the other matches you played so far. I really don't share that belief that you should be at 70% of your full potential to make sure that you manage expectations and have a kind of a crescendo of a few weeks and then you get to full tilt. Now, you're a young player. You're in a team that wants to play football. You're in a team that's giving you chances. You've got strikers ahead of you. And you're maybe, if you're playing that way, the missing link that you never had in Seattle, that you didn't find in DC, where you had guys in the middle, you had guys up top, but you didn't really have the person who could connect the two. And that's exactly what Bryce Duke did. Now, if he can't reach that standard week in, week out, that's fine. But at least now we know that exists, because it was a mind-boggling situation where you go, because I was the first one in May of last year to be happy to see Bryce Duke. I was really, really enthusiastic. And then it kind of started well and fizzled out without having any sort of urgency, purpose, grit, the fighting desire. Under Hernan Losada, with all the communication problems that they had, okay. But at the beginning of this year, you'd no excuse. Now to see the standard he set, I'm absolutely okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm also pleased to see that performance, because you're talking about he's the link up. He's the connecting piece that they were so sorely lacking in those previous performances. And the team parts, when CF Montreal sort of failed to put anything together attacking-wise, they lacked that attacking punch or thrust, was because the team parts existed in isolation. You had your front runners, you had your midfield, you had your back line. And then, you know, you have various players who play the roles and they play them to perfection, but you didn't have a player like Bryce Duke with this particular profile and the way that he can pull the strings and he can sort of live in those pockets, occupy the half spaces, and then develop the partnerships. And like what we saw between he and Martinez for me was really exciting. And you alluded to it before, talking about Inter Miami, talking about, you know, the money paid to get he and Lassiter over. But now you have three guys who've played together at Miami. You have Martinez, and it was only for a short spell.
Yep.
But you have Martinez, you have Lassiter, and you have Bryce Duke. And that was essentially your front trio in that game. And so what, I mean, I've just talked about a number of them, but what developing partnership, and this is our third question, do you feel like has the most potential going forward?
Oh, well, to me, it would have been it wasn't even a question before the match at the weekend. It's Dominic Yankov and Martinez, because I didn't see Bryce Duke getting anywhere close to that chemistry with Martinez. And then you get it. Now, my first reflex, if Martinez was faster, would be, let's try Bryce Duke and Yankov behind him and try and see if you can make something work. However, the game at the weekend showed you that you need the guys who have the legs. You need Ariel Lasser to make the runs. You need Kakaro to make the runs. You need the Ruans on the side as well. So Duke, honestly, this game, and it's a sample of 90 minutes now, it's nowhere close to be enough to kind of off balance, offset what he's done so far this season. But it just does change the game. I'm sorry, it completely does. Even as a super sub, if you come in and you play like that, you can cause all sorts of issues with the opposition. And I think that's the message that Bryce Duke sent. Having said that, finding him, being able to go with combinations, and he managed to turn a few times as well, which I found interesting. That is only because you started with a tackle. But you have to be brave to be on the ball as well. He went, I think he got 3 or 4 fouls against him. That means you're getting your body in the way, and you need an awful lot of courage. I remember Alex Ferguson back in the day, he used to say about Ronaldo and Messi, they're the two bravest footballers I've ever seen. And it kind of took me aback a bit. And it wasn't because they were the Patrick Vieiras and Roy Keanes of this world or Vinnie Joneses. It's because they were always brave enough to run with the ball, knowing that they could get chopped down at any time. But that's what comes with the type of players they are and the type of influence they want on the game. Bryce Duke is absolutely not in the same stratosphere as those guys, but in the profile, that's what he wants to be. You have to be willing to be courageous and brave enough, and that's what he was at the weekend.
Dear listener, we know that Ali Brett is a Manchester United fan, so it's absolutely not out of the ordinary that we would have an Alex Ferguson reference or a Ronaldo reference. But I think what I'm most perplexed by is the Phil Neville reference. But we'll circle back. We'll see if he comes back.
Hang on, no. Class of 92, I mean, class of 92.
I know he falls into the Manchester United net. Yep. He played there for a long time with his brother Gary. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm still resentful of it, Ollie.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's been complicated since 2013, so I empathize a total of 0 with you.
I want to go back to what you said about Bryce Duke causing headaches for the opposition. But his performance on Saturday, and you mentioned Yankov as the partnership with perhaps the greatest potential with he and Martinez, his performance, does that give selection headache to Duke's performance, does that give a selection headache to Laurent Courtois going forward?
If Yankov is available at the weekend, can you take Duke out?
No.
So I think
there's the answer.
Well, I mean, that's a very short-term way of seeing it, right? I think you went to get Yankov, and I think you went to get Yankov because you believe in it. They were in him. They were chasing him for 2 years, I think. Olivier Renard was after him. But also because the Bryce Duke situation didn't really pan out last year under Losada. So, yeah, I think it does. Or at the very least, it gives you options to rotate. Because what CF Montreal did at the weekend against FC Cincinnati, you need to be fit. Even if you're a striker or a midfielder, they were chasing everything. The game was open. If you want to get close to someone to link up, you often have 10 or 15 yards to cover, sprinting to make sure that you're close enough. You've got that density around the ball to be able to pull in the opposition and then find somebody who's got a bit more space. So you're going to need everybody at hand. Ariel Lasseter the weekend was a great example. I was a bit surprised to see him up top, but in the end, it worked out. So I don't know if it gives a huge headache over the next few weeks, but it definitely gives you options. And I think it'd be harsh to take Bryce Duke out at the weekend against Orlando. And to be honest, you would have said that to me 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't really have believed you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, lots of positivity, I think, coming out of that game. And one thing that I liked, and you mentioned his name before, was Ruan. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was kind of gave a muted performance in Seattle.
Yep.
But he was, like, the versatility of the attack, I think, was dependent upon the link-up play through the spine, but then also the verticality and I think the direct approach that they had success with in that right channel. And that was driven particularly by Ruan.
Yeah. And I think the first half they had more, they had some opportunities, but I think they could have had a ton more if they just looked for that simpler option in deep a bit more often. I saw Kokoro before he came off. He was looking for those runs in behind and the ball just wasn't coming. I think they were more focused on keeping possession. I think those were the scars of the two previous games. Ruan, I'm a huge, huge fan. I was watching DC United's loss against Orlando this morning, and Aaron Herrera is having a fantastic start to the season at DC. So it's absolutely not a jab at Herrera, who left for DC when Ruan came the other way. But I think that was a good move on Olivier Renard's part, especially considering you got Raheem Edwards with the money that became available. Having said that, I think Ruan, it needs to be a bit clearer what's expected of him when he gets in the box or in the final third, because I still find that he, with the speed that he has, too many of those passes or crosses in the box find a defender rather than a teammate. Too many times you feel that he could just cut in either to have a go himself or to get taken down in the box and you could get a penalty like Kokoro got two in Chicago early in the game. So I think those are the adjustments, but that's based on the fact that he gets in behind. He brings that dimension that you didn't have last year, and that's really good news.
Yeah, because it was that final ball, that just final decision-making that was letting him down a little bit. But before we go, because I have some kids to go pick up, I just wanted to tip my hat to Mathieu Chouanière and to Samuel Piette, because you alluded to the amount of work that is required to play this style of play, or to play this the philosophy of play that Laurent Courtois wants to implement. And it's driven by those two pivots. And Piette sitting a little bit deeper, allowing Chouanière the freedom to kind of play more as a box-to-box. But you need that stability there in the midfield in order to create the fluidity going forward. And so I just tip my hat to those two because I don't think they get enough kudos.
No, and you know what comes to mind? Jonathan Osorio, and I'll be giving a panic attack to CF Montreal fans, giving Toronto FC a shout-out on a CF Montreal podcast. But it brings another dimension. I'm sorry, being a local guy just brings you to another level. I think there's something else that goes in it, especially when it's a home opener. I watch Jonathan Osorio. I've done an awful lot of TFC games over the last 2 or 3 years, and you just feel you're carried by an extra desire, an extra energy, and that's sometimes a bit understated, or, you know, I don't think we factor it in enough. And the fact that it's two local boys, considering that 7 or 8 years ago, Patrice Bernier was still having to prove that he was on the pitch because he was good enough rather than he was a local lad. It's absolutely different in 2024. And for that, I think Olivier Renard deserves an awful lot of credit because he completely changed the perception the club has of its own homegrown products.
Yeah, and valuing les gars chez nous.
Absolutely.
And it's so important because then you see that reflected back from the fans and from the community. And then it also spreads throughout the league.
Yeah. So, and the players also hope that it's valued by their agents as well, because that's another component that comes in when you start being decent on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Money certainly talks. So we'll dive into that another time. But remember to like, listen, and subscribe to Footy Prime. Find us on Apple and Spotify, and go follow us on YouTube as well. So thank you, Ollie, for another great chat.
Anything always a pleasure. See you later, Victor.
Yeah. Maybe we'll chat to Victor another time.
Yeah, we will. Don't worry.
Okay. Cheers for listening. Thanks for supporting independent podcasts.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Podcast, not podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.